Okay, we are up to Perek Samach Hey. We are in the middle. Perek Samach Hey Posik Ches. We have to talk about the Siyum. I spoke to Dr. Friedman, said that if we want. Perek Samach Hey, Dr. Friedman said that he would like to make a Siyum part of the Shul, here in the Shul. And that would have to take place during Shalosh Shudas. And the earliest slot for Shalosh Shudas would be after Sukkot. Okay, that's one option. Other option is we can make like a little breakfast if you want on a Friday. On a Friday, maybe we can get a guest speaker. I definitely think it would be very nice if you can make it for your wives, invite your family. So you have to think about what you want to do. Okay, well, what we want to do, we'll think about it. Let's start now. After lunch with the senior citizens downstairs. After we finish Yeshayim Yer Tashem, I want to learn Doniel Ezra Nehemiah. So that should be our next little bit of a change. It's a very different type of limud. It's very different than Yeshaya. We'll see how it goes. Okay, we're up to Pasuk Ches and Perek Samach Hey. Pasuk Ches, Koy Amar Hashem Kasher Yimotze Hatirosh BeEshkol VeOmar Al Tashchi Ser. Just like when a person finds Tirosh's wine, sweetness. This person finds wine in a cluster of grapes, and this can simply mean if we have a cluster of sour grapes, and the grapes are not fit for, they're not really fit for very much. But there are always going to be a few berries, a few lone grapes that are going to be substantial. And therefore, if there will be a person that will say, oh, just throw the whole thing in the garbage, there'll always be someone else that will say, no, don't throw the whole cluster in the garbage. There's something that we can salvage. There's something that is redeeming, that is good. There's some quality in this cluster that, because of these few grapes, we should save the entire cluster. That is a more general approach. Simply, the Mitzvah says something a little bit different, that in a cluster of grapes, in every single grape is psoilus. There are the seeds, and there are the skins, and the seeds, and the skins, and the branches are not of any value. They're not used for very much. But the fruit, the meat of the cluster of grapes, obviously has great value, and in that merit, we preserve the entire cluster, the seeds, and the skin, and the wood is spared because of the good that is found, the juice found in the cluster of grapes. And this is a mashal for Klal Yisrael, that at the time, at the end of days, although we know there's going to be many problems, not everyone in Klal Yisrael will be living up to, and be living up to the ideals of Torah, but there will always be a few tzaddikim, and in the merit of the few tzaddikim that are found among Klal Yisrael, the rest of Klal Yisrael will be spared. So again, with the pasuk, Hashem Kasher, just like Yimotzei HaTirosh Boashkol, if one finds Tirosh is wine, and that means the good in Boashkol, in the cluster of grapes, the Omar, and because of the wine, because of the good in the cluster of grapes, the Omar, you will say, Al Tashchi Sehu, do not destroy the cluster, Ki V'rochobo, because blessing is found within this cluster. Cain, likewise, says, I will do, Leman Avodai, I will do on behalf of my servants, that refers to the servants in this mushul on the Tirosh, Levilti, Hashchis, I call not to destroy the cluster. I will not allow the cluster to be destroyed, referring to the entire Klal Yisrael, because in the merit of the few tzaddikim that are found among Klal Yisrael. Pasuk Tes, V'yotzei Sim Yaakov Zera, I will extract from Klal Yisrael seed, U'miyehudo Yorei Shoroi, those that will inherit my mountains, V'yorei Shua V'chirai, my chosen ones will inherit Eretz Yisrael, V'avodai Yishkun Shoma, and my servants will dwell there. So we have here a whole collection of expressions. We have the Avodai, we have the servants, and we have we have over here Yaakov, Yehuda, Vichirai, and Avodai. Four different members, different groups of Klal Yisrael. Yaakov, Yehuda, my chosen ones, my servants will inherit the land and the mountains. Pasuk Yud, Hashem is speaking. Hashem is speaking. Hashem.
Hashem is telling what I'm going to do.
Yes. Yes. Correct.
To Yeshayahu putting in a plea.
Well, that was the previous. That's over. The plea is over. The plea that.
It's a response.
No, it's on its own. It appears to be a new simply it appears to be a new section.
Presentation. Yeah.
Yesterday we explained that everything that went back from Perek Samach Gimel towards the middle of Samach Gimel to the end of Perek Samach Hey was the tefillah of Yeshaya, and that's it. It's over now. Beginning with Pasuk Ches is an entirely new section.
It's not necessarily.
It could be. It could very well be that there is some significance in this, that they're juxtaposed. But simply, it is. It's a new section. The Yeshaya basically is a collection of prophecies that Yeshaya experienced over his life, over 86 years, and they were all just joined together and clumped together in this book, in Yeshaya. Is there a significance in that one prophecy is next to another? I'm sure there is. I'm sure there must be something very deep in how everything was arranged. But on a very simple level, it's just a new vision Yeshaya experienced at some point in his life, which is now being presented. Rashi here has a little bit more midrashic. He says that the Eshkol here refers to the Tirosh is Noach. Noach Shayim Mosuk. Noach was sweet. That's very interesting. Well, what is that Tirosh? Tirosh comes from the word Mesika. I'm not exactly sure how Tirosh means Mesika, but referring to an Eshkol, Rashi says, according to the Medrash, the Dor HaMeshukol, Eshkol Lashon of Shikol. Shikol means bereaved, and that refers to his generation. They were all killed, they were all destroyed and put to death. The Yesh Lifter, so Rashi here is telling us that according to Rashi, these psukim are referring back in history, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu saw Ki Oischa Reisi Tzadik Lefonai Ba'adar Hazeh, and because of you, Noach, I saved the world. I didn't destroy the world, I saved the world. And I saved you to rebuild it, to reoccupy it. I think what Rashi is telling us, something very deep, that when Hashem saw the Dor HaMabul, Hashem saw they were sinners, Hashem did not just want to destroy the people of the Dor HaMabul. Hashem wanted to destroy the entire world. Earth would cease to exist. It would implode. The whole world would come to an end. But because they were still left to be found in this world at Tzaddik, Noach ish Tzaddik, Tom Hoya b'derasav, Ki oischad isi Tzaddik lufanai b'ador hazeh, Hashem says, V'omar al tashchisehu, don't destroy the world. The world will continue to exist. And who will be the one that will rebuild the world? Noach. And I will select a group of animals who have not sinned, and they will be the ones that will rebuild. I don't think we think of it like that. We think of it that HaKadosh Baruch Hu, if there were no tzaddikim left, Hashem would have destroyed all the people, but the world will continue to exist. The world will continue to orbit around the sun, and there will be some type of whatever it is, the world will exist. No, I would have destroyed the world, whatever that is, means. But because there was a tzaddik to be found, Noach, the Omer al tashchisehu, don't destroy the world. Ki v'racha bo, Noach is the bracha. And this will be just like what Hashem did for Noach and the world. Hashem, that will serve as a mashal, what Hashem will do for Klal Yisrael. Within Klal Yisrael, there will be tzaddikim, and there will be non-tzaddikim, and in the merit of the tzaddikim, even the others that are not tzaddikim will survive. Yeah.
No, just the grammar. Tashchisehu means you will destroy it normally?
No, Hashem,
it won't be destroyed.
Don't destroy it. Al the Omar, a person, some magical person, some person out there will object to another person that was willing to destroy it. No, Al Tashchisehu, do not destroy it. Do not.
The word Omar is not the same as Omar Hashem.
No.
Different
Hashem is describing. Hashem here is describing a scene. There is a scene between two individuals. There is a person that sees a cluster of grapes and is about to throw it in the garbage, and someone else approaches and says, "Why are you throwing the cluster of grapes in the garbage? Even though it's not of the best quality, there is some redeeming value. There is some good qualities, and because of that, we should save the cluster, and therefore." And that is what the mashal here is. Okay, so let's go further. Pasek Yud. V'hoyo hasharoin. The Sharon is a region in Eretz Yisrael, which is a beautiful land. Okay, over here in the Mitzudos Tzion, it says, what is Sharon? Shmokoim Mishar V'Shamein, a place of valleys and a fat land, a land that it's a good high quality land. K'moy Haroim, like we have Divrei Hayamim, Haroim Bashon, those that pasture in the region of the Sharon. Rashi says almost the same thing. Shem Machois, it's a neighborhood, it's a region. Shahoya be'eretz Yisrael. And the Mitzudos Tov, it elaborates Mekoyim Hamisha v'Hashamin Yiyah Linveit Son. So just now, going back to the Pasuk, let's go back to the Pasuk. V'hoya Hashon Linveit Son. That Lassalava, when HaKadosh Baruch Hu will spare Eretz Yisrael, will spare the Jewish people, the Sharon, this region, will be for a place of the pasture. Neveit means a dwelling, an abode for the sheep. The Emek Ochor, and the valley of Ochor. Ochor means Mekulkol. It means, in contrast to the Sharon, that is a beautiful piece of land, the Ochor means ugly. Ugly Mekulkol. Lerevetz Bakar will be a place to lie down the cattle. In other words, every part of the land will serve a purpose. The part of the land that produces will be for food. The part that does not produce will be a place of dwelling, because where an animal sleep and dwell, where human beings dwell, it doesn't necessarily have to be a place that produces produce. So the Emek, the valley of Achor, which is Mekukul, which does not produce anything, will be Lerevetz Bakar, to allow the, when the Bakar need to go to sleep, to lie down, to rest, that's where they will rest. La'ami, for my nation, Asher, Dirashuni, and all this will be for my nation, Klal Yisrael, which Dirashuni has sought me out, has seeked out HaKadosh Baruch Hu at this time. Everything, every part of Eretz Yisrael will be returned and restored to Klal Yisrael. The Atem, and this is for the Tzadikim. But what about for the Rishoyim? And these Rishoyim can refer either to the Rishoyim of Klal Yisrael, to the Rishoyim of Klal Yisrael, to the Rishoyim of the Umos Olam, the Atem and you, Oizvei Hashem, those that abandon Hashem, Hashchechem es Har Kodesh, you have forgotten my holy mountain, Ha'orchim Lagad Shulchan, now we're referring again to forms of idolatry, who arrange Lagad. Lagad is the name of an idol. It's some type of idol that represents various mazolos. Rashi says, Shem Akum, Oivichom Mazolos, Hoasuyim al Shem Hamazol, which was fashioned to represent the mazol, the constellations in heaven. Ovloshem Mishnah, Yesh Gad Gadiv, is seen to glow with certain type of expression that people would say in honor of this Avodah Zarah. They would arrange a table. They would have in their home a special table just for a table with food and drink, and no one would sit there. No one would sit there or touch it. It was just in honor of the mazel, the avodah zarah called God, the ham malim lamni. Mimsach. Rashi provides two interpretations for the word lamni. Either it means an idol, just like God is an idol. Mani is also an idol. They would arrange wine in honor of this idol. So basically, these are two different types of Avodah Zarah which deny the existence of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Everything depends upon mazel. Nothing depends on hashkacha pratis from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Mimsach means wine. Libations, wine. Rashi, in his first interpretation, says that they would provide, lamni means number. It means the lashon of minyan. And there were priests that would serve the idol God. And part of the service of arranging a beautiful table with food in honor of God, we would also provide the priests who minister to this Avodah Zarah gifts of wine. So here Hashem is saying that you people are Rishoyim. You wicked people, you go more to the Pasuk, about them and you wicked people, you, you forgot my mountain. You arrange for the Avodah Zarah God on that table. And you arrange, you fill up for the idol, lamni, wine. So what will I do to you people at the end of days? Umanisi eschem lacherif. I will count you. I will. Manisi normally means to count. Minyan. So it means I will designate you for destruction. Not just a simple designation. A designation by number. And that means no one's going to be missing. Everyone that is guilty will get what they deserve, just like there are no mistaken numbers. You talk about general punishment, superficial. So then there are always people that, you know, escape. They fall between the cracks. But when everyone is numbered, then there's an accounting. There's a din v'cheshbon. No one escapes. So by employing this expression, umon nisi, it's telling us no one should think that at the end of days, when there will be din v'cheshbon, someone will escape punishment for what they deserve. I will count eschem lacheref, for the sword, v'kulchem latevach tichrohu, you will all bow before for slaughter. I never knew what this meant until I saw a documentary recently on the Crusades. And what does it mean to bow? So simply it's a poetic expression. Sorry, it's a poetic expression that they'll die. They'll die. But the way they executed people in ancient times was they would bow down. They would get down on their knees. When the Muslims, they, when they captured a lot of the Christians and vice versa, they all different points in time and during the Crusades. So they showed they would have them get down on their knees, the victims, and they would take a sword and decapitate them. So it's very precise. Kulchem, all of you, la tevach tichrohu, for slaughter you will bow. Doesn't just mean you'll die and you'll in a poetic expression. It can be taken literally because this appears to have been a technique that was employed in punishing, in killing people. Yan, why? Why will these sinners who worship idols and deny Hashem's existence? There's a very specific type of Avodah Zarah. God and Mani are Avodah Zarah, which means HaKadosh Baruch Hu doesn't exist. It's like, you know, we have Baal all over Tanakh. We have other types of Avodah Zarah. A lot of those forms of worship, they're not necessarily denying the existence of Hashem. Hashem exists, but you, Hashem, have given over your power to idols, the sun and the moon, and you, Hashem, have gone far away, you're on vacation, and therefore we're going to worship the sun, the moon, we're going to worship Baal, Marcolis is that stones, you throw stones, you represent certain hefkeris, like Hashem exists but he doesn't care, and we can conduct ourselves in certain ways. Not every type of Avodah Zarah is a denial of the existence of a Kodesh Baruch Hu. But it does appear that God and Mani are worse. Because God and Mani means there is no God. Everything is just mazel. Hakol b'mazel. Everything is totally mazel. Everything is an accident just by chance. So over here, when we're focusing on this very severe form of punishment that Kodesh Baruch Hu is coming to mete out at the end of days, it's focused specifically on God and Mani. It's not the most popular Avodah Zarah. Again, look in Sefer Melachim. Sefer Melachim, it's all about Baal. Baal, Baal, Baal. In the Torah, it's about Pa'or. It's about Pa'or. What is Pa'or? Pa'or just means hefkeris. Person, you do whatever you want. Not necessarily Hashem doesn't exist. This is different. It has to be studied, the significance of why this Avodah Zarah. Yan, because Karasi Hashem says, I called out to you, V'loy Anisem. I called out to you, Hashem says, I called out to you. I beg you to come close to me. But v'loy anisem, but you, my people, did not listen. Dibayati v'loy shmatem, I spoke to you, you did not listen. V'atasu rabi einai, and you have done evil in my eyes. V'asher lechafatzi bichartem, what I did not choose, you have chosen. You have chosen for yourself a lifestyle which I have not selected for you. Pasuk yud gimel, l'chein defakoyim ha'ashem elokim, hinei avodai. Now we're comparing tzadikim to the rishoyim. Avodai yoychelu, my servants will eat. V'atem tirabu, you the wicked people who have denied my existence, you will starve. Hine, behold, avodai yishtu, they, my servants, will drink. V'atem titzmohu, you, my wicked people, will be thirsty. Hine, avodai yismohu, my servants will rejoice. V'atem, and you, Stevosh will be embarrassed. It's very interesting that the pasuk here is contrasting embarrassment with joy. Fascinating. What would you expect the pasuk to say? Sad. Just like we compare eating and being hungry, drinking and being thirsty, rejoicing and being sad, sadness. You see, that's not so. You see a very deep insight. What is sadness? Sadness is embarrassment. What is embarrassment? A person is embarrassed when he feels that he's missing something, that I should have had something. It's very deep. I don't know, you have to speak to any psychologist here. You have to speak to a psychologist. But that's what it says. Sadness, how was one define joy? How does one define sadness? How does one define honor? How does one define shame? So here it seems to be saying that joy and honor are one and the same. When a person has kavod, has honor, and kavod doesn't just mean you walk into them, everyone stands up. That's narishkeit. It means self-worth. You feel that you've earned, you've accomplished something, and you've earned your keep. That is honor. And that honor brings a person to a degree of joy. When a person is embarrassed, it means the classic embarrassment is when a person gives you a gift. This is the model of embarrassment. When a person gives you a gift that you do not deserve. Why did Hashem create this world? If Hashem wanted to do good and bring all of the neshamos into Gan Eden, so why couldn't Hashem create all of the neshamos and bring them directly into Gan Eden? Chazal answer, we would not be able to enjoy Gan Eden because it's the mechla de kisufa, bread of embarrassment. When a person gives you a handout, you do not earn your keep, you feel ashamed. In order for us to earn our reward in Olam Haba, Hashem created this world where we go through Nisyonos and we earn our keep. So embarrassment is sadness. Honor brings joy. Honor means to earn your keep. And that brings a person to a feeling of joy. When a person receives handouts, does not earn his keep, it's mechla dikei sufa, there is shame, and that shame brings embarrassment. Okay, let's go further. Now, before we go further, there's a very, very well-known Gemara Masechta Shabbos. I don't do a lot of these midrashim because a lot of them I don't understand, and I'm not really... They don't really grab you, but this is a Gemara, so maybe it's only because I know it from before, somehow it seeped into my bones a little bit more. I'll read you the Gemara Masechta Shabbos. It's a well-known Gemara. I'll try to go very quickly. The Gemara tells, and it ties perfectly into this pasuk. That's why I'm quoting the Gemara. The Gemara says, what is this pasuk? This is Amar B'Yochanan Ben Zakkai. The Gemara is in Shabbos, Daf Kuf Nun Gimel. Amar Rabbi Yochanan Ben Zakkai, Moshe L'melech Shezimein Avodav L'suda V'leikav Lahem Zman. There's a marshal, a king told his servants, I'm inviting the entire city to a party. Everyone get ready for the party. And the king does not put on the sign the date. When is the party? Is the party today? Is it tomorrow? Is it next week? V'loi kavalahem zman. So people are confused. So there are clever people and there are not such clever people. The pikrim shebohem kishtu es atzmon, they get dressed up in their best clothing. The yashu al pesach beis hamelech, and they sit outside the White House. They camp outside the White House because since the king said making a party and he did not tell the people when the moment is, so people said it can be any moment, we have to be ready. And we come l'fnei hamelech, we have to be dressed in our best clothing. So they prepare, they get dressed up, and they stand outside the White House. So what's the reason why they should do it? Because if it's really true that the king wants to make a party, he has to prepare. It takes a lot of time to prepare. The king doesn't need to prepare. The king has everything ready inside in his kitchen. He has servants. He can make a party at a moment's notice. And therefore, if he decides now, he'll be ready in an instant. Therefore, we must be prepared. And but the tipshim shebuchem holchu l'malacht, and the fools, they said, come on, even the king needs to spend some time preparing. It's not going to happen right away. We'll have warning. And therefore, the fools, they go to work. Amu klum yeshudu b'lo tairach, even the king needs to prepare. What happens? Pisoim bikesh hamelech es avodav. Suddenly the king says, the party is now. And the doors open up. Everyone comes running. So the clever ones come in all dressed up in their finest clothing. But the fools come in dressed in dirty clothing. So the king rejoices when he sees the clever citizens dressed up in their beautiful clothing, and he's furious at the fools who come into the palace filthy, dirty in their work clothing. Omar, so what does he say? The clever people will be rewarded, and they will be given food and drink, but the fools will not be given anything. They'll just sit and watch. They're not going to be given food and drink. Omar, halalu shekishu atzman l'suda yeshu v'yachlu v'yishu v'halalu shaloi kishu atzman l'suda yamdu v'yiru. So what is the mashal? Now the pasuk goes on to say, okay, let me just jump down to the end. So the Gemara ties this into this pasuk here. The pasuk says, "Shenemar." Where do we see this idea mentioned in Tanakh? It's this pasuk Yud Gimel. The pasuk says, "Koyamar Hashem, Hine Avodai Yechelu V'Atem Tiravu." That's this pasuk. My servants will eat. The atem, you the fools, tiravu will be hungry. Hine avodah yishtu, my servants will drink. The atem tits mohu, you will be thirsty. Hine avodah yismohu, the atem tevoshin, you the fools will be embarrassed. And what's the nimshal? Nimshal, the Kadosh Baruch Hu, the Mashiach can come at any moment. At any moment, the Kadosh Baruch Hu can send down from heaven, and he can cause things to happen so quickly that I will be ready for the Mashiach, will be here, it will be a Beis HaMikdash, and then the problem is going to be, will we be ready for Mashiach? So the clever people, every single moment they have during the day, they utilize it, they take advantage to learn Torah, to daven, to do tshuva, to prepare themselves for that glorious time when Mashiach will come. And the fools say, listen, Mashiach's not coming so fast. There are a lot of problems in this world. When I get a sense that Mashiach is coming, when I see HaKadosh Baruch Hu start making preparations, when I see a lot of trucks going into the White House with all the supplies, then I'll get nervous, I will retire, and I'll go to Kailo, and I'll start getting ready for Yimos HaMashiach. And then all of a sudden, without warning, Hashem brings Mashiach. That's what this Medrash says. It's going to happen suddenly. What?
Kasha.
Yeah?
Learning Gemara Brachas, today's daf, Alf Lamed,
Dalad.
And Shmuel says there'll be no difference between the days of Mashiach and the days of whatever, except that we're going to have control of it. So what am I...
The Rambam says we do not know what that means. So all of these things we don't know.
I take Pashto Gemara's table, what am I getting ready for?
You don't know what you're getting ready for. Exactly. You don't know. You know what you have to do. Every person knows. Every person has a subconscious awareness of what he has to do. What are his weaknesses, and where he needs to be mechazik himself in Yerushalayim and Torah and Avoda. Every person knows what. No one's expected to become the Gadol Hadar, to become a Chafetz Chaim, to become a Rav Sol Salanter. But every person knows where they have to go. You sense that. So that's the mashal over here. The mashal over here is that a person should prepare himself, and that it should take advantage, because you don't know. HaKadosh Baruch Hu can bring Mashiach at a moment's notice. Things can happen so quickly. Before you blink, who would ever imagined? You go look back. Who would ever imagined a year ago? Like people in their own lifetimes, you have different good things, and you look back. Something happens, and you find yourself in a new situation. You look back and you say, a year ago, I never in my wildest imagination would have imagined that I would be where I am today. In this, whether it's whatever the situation is, good, bad, job, this, that, whatever you're dealing with. So the same thing, you never know where HaKadosh Baruch Hu Mashiach, and a person has to be prepared on his level, whatever was expected of a person, and a ruchniistic level for the coming of Mashiach. Are we going to be like the pikhim, the clever people, or like the shaitim or the tipshim? And that's the mashal. And when it will ultimately happen, the pikhim are going to rejoice, and the shaitim, the tipshim, are going to suffer. And it's all encapsulated in this pasuk. L'chein koyim Hashem hinei avodah yechelu. Those that prepare will eat. V'atem tiravu. Hinei avodai yishtu. V'atem titzmohu. Hinei avodai yismohu. V'atem tevoshu. Pasuk Yudal. Hinei avodai yoroinu. Continuing this theme, my servants will rejoice, will sing mituv lev with a good heart. V'atem, but you the rishoyim, the fools that have not prepared, titzoku, will cry. Again, we have the contrast to sing and cry. That mikeev lev, from heartache, from pain of the heart. Umisheve ruach tiye lilu, and from a broken spirit, tiye lilu, will you, good morning, I'm worried about you, I didn't see you a few days, tiye lilu, will wail. So we have over here, in this pasuk, it's a little bit interesting, because in this pasuk here we have a double contrast. The avodai will yoroinu, will rejoice. So you would expect the pasuk to end with the atem, but you titzoku, will cry out mikeev lev, period. But it does not stop there. It goes further. Umisheve ruach, from a broken spirit, tiyelilu, will cry out. So it's not clear why we need a double reinforcement of the sheve ruach tiyelilu with titzoku to correspond to yoroinu. Okay, pasuk tezvath. This is an interesting pasuk. V'hinachtem shimchem l'shvua livchirai. V'hemischa Hashem Elokim ulavodav yikra shem acher. Now this means that at the end of days, the wicked will be destroyed. The wicked will suffer. They will suffer in a public fashion. And the tzaddikim who survive, when they will need to make a shvua, when they'll need to say, I promise that this is true, and if I'm a liar, if I'm lying, then you know what should come upon me? I should be just like this, what happened to so-and-so. It's a very interesting idea. Just like you have over here, let's say there's a Ploini who's a Russia, and Hashem over here has destroyed him, has brought him down in disgrace, so, and his name is known throughout the world as a person who suffered, who was punished by Hashem. So tzaddikim who will want to make a shvua and say that if I am not faithful to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, if I did not do what I'm supposed to do, I should suffer, I should be just like so and so. V'hinachtem, Hashem will set shimchem, your name, the name of the Rasha, you, the Rasha who has sinned and has betrayed HaKadosh Baruch Hu, l'shvua, you will be for an oath, livchirai, for my chosen ones, for my tzaddikim, they will swear in your name that I should suffer and be like this Rasha if I'm not faithful to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. V'hemischa, Hashem says to the Risham, I will cause you to die. V'hemischa, Hashem Elokim will cause you to die. And this means in this world and the next world, a very powerful expression, Hashem Elokim, Midas Hadin, Midas Harachnim, Uliavadov Yikra Shem Acher, but to my tzaddikim, I will call them a different name. What name? Let's look at Rashi. Rashi is interesting when he says, let's look at the entire Rashi, Pasuk Tezvav. Shimchem Lashua, Loikech, Mishimchem Kalala. From the name of the Rusham, the tzaddikim will take curse, ushvua, lidoros, imlo yik, imlo yakrenu, kasher ira leploni. If I'm not faithful, then it should come upon me like what happened to so and so. The mischa, misas oilam, Hashem will bring death to the Rishoyim, a permanent death. And this will the next word. But, uliavadecha yikro shem acher, shem toiv. The Zecher Levracha will be remembered. Levracha. By the way, Zecher Tzadik Levracha is not for the dead. That's really, today, our Minhagim, talk about Minhagim, we do all of these very strange things. We only use, say, the term Zecher Tzadik Levracha for a person who's no longer living. No, that's not so. You see, Mamish Beferishu and this Rashi, and the Gemara also, I don't remember where, that Zecher Tzadik Levracha is a term that you refer to a Tzadik. We use Shlita. Sheyichye Liyamim Toivim Aruchim. That's the common expression that is used, term that we use to refer to a person, a Tzadik that's alive. But here, look at the contrast. This is an amazing pasuk. V'hemischa Hashem Elokim, Hashem will cause death to the Rishoyim, Ula Avodav, but the Avodav is not death, it's life. And what the life L'Chairis simply means, life in this world. The Rishoyim are going to be put to death, and the Tzaddikim are going to live on. And when the tzaddikim are going to live on, they're going to be called the Sheikur, they're going to be called the Shem Acher, they're going to be called another name. And what does it mean, Shem Acher, Rashi? Shem Toif. They will be referred to for good. A Rasha will say, oh, what a Rasha. What a Rasha. When you curse, when a person is cursed, oh, you should be like that. When we curse someone, he should be like that Rasha. He should be suffer and die like that Rasha. But the tzaddikim, people will say, oh, you should be like the tzaddik who are alive. Shame to v'zecher levracha. But we don't do that for whatever reason. We today reserve that term exclusively for zecher, tzaddik levracha, for us is a long life. I remember once in yeshiva, there was a journal, and one of the Rosh Yeshiva, who was Baruch Hashem, who was alive and should be well and good, everything should be good, he's Baruch Hashem. So they made a mistake in the journal, and they had all the names of the people. They wrote the name of the Rosh Yeshiva, Zecher Tzadik Levracha. Do you know how terrible a mistake? What? Then there's a term called Olav Hashem. So then today, unfortunately today, it's accepted. I don't know, accepted, but people. And I shouldn't say that, but people, for an ordinary person, they follow with ayin hey, olav hashalom, and for a tzaddik, they have zechel zechronu levracha, and a very big tzaddik zechel tzaddik levracha. For the girl hador zechel tzaddik ukadosh levracha, zechel tzaddik ukadosh levracha lechayeh ha'olam haba. All these expressions, but the truth is, Reisman has an article on this. Reisman says that the truth is olav hashalom is a much greater bracha than zechel tzaddik levracha. What?
In other words, for a man, a lot of times they'll say
zeichet
tzaddik levracha.
Yeah.
And for a woman,
oleha hashalom. Okay, but even for, what about men? You see today that for ordinary people they write olav hashalom, and for tzaddikim, for rabbanim, talmidei chachamim, they write zeichet tzaddik levracha. The Reisman says that it doesn't make any sense. It should really be the other way. It's really that olav hashalom is greater than zeichet tzaddik levracha. First of all, it says in the Gemara only used the term Avraham Avinu Olav Hashalom. Is there anyone Moshe Rabbeinu Olav Hashalom? Is there anyone greater than Moshe Rabbeinu Avraham Avinu? And for them, it was good enough in the Gemara to say Olav Hashalom, that today you have to say about a person Zeichet Tzadik Levracha, Zeichet Tzadik Kosh Levracha Lechai Olam Haba. It's Mishagas, it's nonsense. And also, Shalom is the name of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. You're giving the person a bracha, you're attaching him to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Olav upon him, may there be peace. It's a beautiful bracha. And especially when Shalom refers to Hashem, may he be with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. When you say Zeichet Tzadik Levracha, it just means may his name be remembered for good. But yet, for whatever reason, but here you see in this Rashi that Zeichet Tzadik Levracha is a name given for a living person.
In Gemara, the Zeichet Tzadik Levracha was given to people that helped out, do meticulous things that other people didn't know how to do. The other ones,
Mishem Yerkov. Mishem
Yerkov.
Okay. All right, so we'll stop here. Okay, we will stop here. Pasuk Tezayin. Okay, let's go. Let's do some Mishnah Berurah.